May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen. Good morning. Welcome here. It is good to see you on a beautiful morning. Did you know it's the first fall morning of 2024? This morning is fall. But I said, what a beautiful fall morning. Just gorgeous. Time moves on. I'm going to share a few verses out of Psalms. And then I'm going to go to the book of Ruth a little bit this morning. This morning, my message is all about aging. It's actually, I didn't title it Aging. I titled it Staying Forever Young. Is that interesting or no? We're going to try that. Staying forever young. In Psalms chapter 90, three verses there from 10 to 12. The days of our years are 70, which means 70. And if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us, verse 12 is an important verse here, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to number our days. How many here today are numbering your days? It's an interesting verse, isn't it? Like, how do you number your days? We don't even know how many days we have, and yet we're supposed to number them. I think we're supposed to recognize how few they are, and they are, and we're supposed to spend them like God wants us to. Every Thursday morning, some of you probably know that, here at the care home, we have a service at 10 a.m. And the reason why we do that is we try to encourage the elderly. I think it's important that we recognize that our elderly need our support. And that's what this message is all about today. You know why? Because we're all heading there. Turn to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is a, to me at least, I always call it, it's a beautiful love story. And it's going to show us a little bit of how Naomi and Ruth interacted. But actually it's a story of God's grace, more so than anything else. When Corny read those verses this morning, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it is a gift. And I think we need to realize what kind of a gift it is. And this book of Ruth actually does that. And this book of Ruth isn't fiction. You have to remember that. This is real. Actually, I'll share Ruth chapter 4, verse 15 first. Then we'll go back to Ruth 1. Ruth 4, verse 15 says this, and he shall be unto thee a restorer, or we could say a renewer, of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, is better to thee than 7 sons hath borne him. That's an interesting verse. What nourishes us when we get old? Our grandchildren, right? Very often, they do. Go back to Ruth chapter 1. I'll start reading at verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her 2 sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Malan and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her 2 sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her 2 daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her 2 daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught by death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So the two went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. That's as far as I'll read. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask for your blessing upon your word this morning. Father, we know that there is much in your word, and so we just pray that it would speak to us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the story of Ruth is the story, it's called the Book of Ruth, but it's also the story of her mother-in-law, Naomi. In the beginning of the Book of Ruth, Naomi has lost everything. Her husband, both her sons, she's now an aging widow. It seems like she has nothing left to offer society. Actually, I think it was in verse 20, right? Yeah, she says, call me Mara or Mara. I think Mara is probably right. And actually, that means a bitter. She felt that God had dealt bitterly with her. But at the close of the Book of Ruth, Naomi rejoices in a daughter-in-law who is better than seven sons. And Ruth's son, who is like a grandson to her, shall be a restorer of life and a nourisher of old age for her. What does nourish us as we grow old? I believe that is a very important question, because as Christians, I find that very often we're more afraid of growing old than dying. I often speak to people about that, and they say, I'm not scared of dying, but this growing old thing isn't a whole lot of fun. And you know, sometimes we might try to avoid this issue. And even if you're younger this morning, I want to make sure you don't tune out, okay, younger ones, because you think you're too young. But you know what? You're aging at the same pace we are. We're all caught up in this process. I read a story just a little while ago about a young girl. She was only 10 years old. The age when you're too young to like boys, right? But one day she sees this cute little guy, and was about her age, and she said, "When I get to the age of not hating boys anymore, I'm not going to hate him first." You know, that is a sign of aging. And maybe some of you have said that, I don't know. But just look at your own life. Each one of us, from the time we're born, we start aging. And it leaves nobody out. At the age of 15, I remember my sisters would spend half an hour in front of the mirror trying to look 21. They turned 39, they'd spend three quarters of an hour in front of the mirror trying to look 21. Then you reach 50, you spend the whole hour in front of the mirror trying to look 21. And once you hit 60, 70, 80, you just give it up. It's not going to work anyhow. But that is all things of aging, right? We are in this process. And it just happens to us. We can't get away from that. And as Christians, we believe that Jesus Christ is our Savior. He died on the cross for us. Grace saves us by faith. It is a gift. But he's more than that. He saves us, but he's also the giver of life. And John 10, verse 10, it says what? "I am come that you might have life, but that you might have it more abundantly." He doesn't want us just to have a life. He wants us to have a fulfilling life, a full life. So I often wonder, how can we people keep on going and keep our latter years enjoyable? So I want to share with you 3 points this morning that we need to accept. Things that maybe we can do to help the elderly, and then I want to share 3 points in how elderly need to accept some things. And the first point is this: support. One word. We need to be supporters of the older generations. Not just for the sake of a few, but much more for the well-being of a society under God. When you study the book of Ruth, we find she did not abandon her mother-in-law. She went against the culture of that day, and she showed to Naomi loyal love, genuine love, thorough love, we could say. She did not just let her go. She kept with her. She stayed with her. She tried to help her. And that's where we need to begin. Turn to John chapter 19. You'll know these verses off by heart. These verses always touch my heart. John 19. John 19, 26. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother," you got to remember here, Jesus is hanging on a cross, and he sees his mother there because his mother loved him. "Jesus therefore saw his mother, and he sees a disciple standing by whom he loved, and he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home." Jesus knew he wouldn't be able to take care of his mother anymore. And so he gives his mother over to John. "Take care of my mother." And you know what? A lot of us know that sometimes that's not very easy. Sometimes it's not easy taking care of your mother or your dad when they get old. But Jesus shows us here that we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to take care of them. Jesus assured his mother that he loved her. You know what? I believe that today we live in a world that I call a throwaway society. I don't know what you call it, but that's what I call it. We don't like something, we throw it away. And you know what's happening in our world today with this MAID thing, medical assistance and dying? That's what it is. We think people that we have to take care of or spend time with are have no value anymore. And so we think that we can, or society, they can just take some medicine and give it to them, and they'll die, and they're done. They're out of here. That's the kind of society that we're living in. And brothers and sisters, that is so wrong. Turn to Job 1, verse 21. This is what Job said. Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. Now listen to this. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Life is not in our hands. It is wrong if we think we can just get rid of our parents because they're old. They are here. They're God-given parents, and God has created them. Just like he has created us. Each person is created in God's image. Some of us he gives health, some of us he doesn't. It's always in God's hands. Regardless of age, we are created in God's image. Christ died for each one, and he is still in charge of us. He is still in charge of our bodies. And so we need to stand in support of the elderly. When these things go on, when our government society okays this MAID thing, we need to stand up. It is so wrong. So wrong. My second point is, we need to be givers. Ruth did not care for Naomi from a distance. She gave of herself. Very often when people get older, they feel like they're being isolated. Unless we that are younger give them a little bit of our time or our talk, and you know what else? A little bit of touch. It's like an elderly woman said to me not that long ago. I asked her, so how is this aging thing going? She says, you know, it's not bad. I'm doing pretty good. But she says, you know what? Nobody touches me anymore. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I always used to be able to give everybody hugs, and nobody wants to hug me anymore. I gave her a hug. I don't usually do that very much either, but I did give her a hug. But you know what? Our society, our elderly, yearn for the touch, for just a hug, just a little bit. Today when a couple of my cousins came in, I gave you just a little hug, right? Because I believe it's so important that we show some little bit of affection to them. It can be a lonely world out there for them. Doing things for others makes all the difference to them. And like I said, sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes they get old, their minds aren't the same, but we need to try to do that for them. My last point on this part is, you as elderly, try to stay as active as possible. Just because you're 80 or 90 or 100 years old doesn't mean that you're done. Even though our world might say, when you're old, you're finished, no, you're not. But sometimes when you get told something often enough, you start believing it. And you know what? That's totally unbiblical. If you go to Deuteronomy 34, verse 7, that's Moses when he died. You know what it says? His eyes weren't dimmed. I'll read the verse quick to find it. Deuteronomy 34, verse 7. And Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. It says that he was still a strong man, 120 years old. Someone has actually said that 9/10 of the world's outstanding achievements have been by older people. Did you know that Winston Churchill didn't do anything significant until he was 65? We need to try to stay as active as possible. When we become elderly, or the older people here today, you have a lot to offer society. Sometimes just talking with an elderly person, you can learn so much from them. There is so much there. It's unbelievable what they all have stored in there. The knowledge that they have from all the experiences that they have gone through is great. It's worth a lot. So we, as younger, want to keep all the elderly going. Now I want to share 3 points. Up to now I've been sharing what we can do to nourish them. Now I want to share 3 points this morning of how maybe we can cope with the aging. 3 points. The first one is this. We need to accept the loss of some things. Saying goodbye to parts of ourselves and our world, we give our children over to adult responsibilities. We lose some physical strength. You might even have to switch jobs. I once heard someone say this, life may begin at 40, but everything else begins to wear out, fall out, and spread out. I'm not sure, is that true? But some loss, some change, can be controlled. Some must be accepted. The key is to be able to let go without losing yourself. That's the key. By faith, we know that nothing in life, turn to Romans, nothing in life can separate us from the love of God. Nothing, not age, not sickness, absolutely nothing. Romans 8. I'll just read 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It doesn't quit. The love of God doesn't quit just because we get older. There is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. We need to remember that. That is so important. Naomi lost her husband, her sons, but I don't think Naomi ever lost herself. We often admire people, don't we, that seem to be able to go on and on, that don't get old, or we think they're not getting old. But very often our response is, oh, but they don't have my disease, or they don't have my heartaches or my headaches. And no, there's one other thing here I want you to remember. Spiritually, can you grow old spiritually? Nicodemus asked Jesus what? How can a man be born when he is old? In John 3. And the answer Jesus gives, I believe, is an interpretation of the statement of the Old Testament preacher in Ecclesiastes 3:11. God makes everything beautiful in his time. Everything is appropriate in its own time. God has placed eternity in the heart of man. So if eternity is in your heart, how can you grow old? I don't think spiritually we can grow old. It just doesn't work. Is Jesus not saying that in the life of the Spirit, there really is no age? The God Spirit doesn't grow old. To be born of the Spirit of the living God is to know eternal life, to be forever young. We must accept certain losses. I totally agree. But you know what? Some things don't grow old. The Spirit does not grow old. So remember that. As we age, the Spirit can't grow old. And that brings me to my next point. Even though there are some losses, we still have to keep growing spiritually. That doesn't quit either. We need to keep growing spiritually. Turn to Philippians 3. Starting at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained or achieved, either were already perfect or complete, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Now remember this. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. He doesn't say when you reach a certain age, 40 or 50 or 60, 70, whatever, then I quit. The call of God is a daily experience. And if we are spiritually alive, then you can't retire from it. You can't. Sometimes we need to begin a new chapter. We know that. There's new chapters. All through life, we start a different chapter, start a different chapter. Time you're born, new chapter start in school. End school, hopefully get married. Whatever. It's a continual new chapter thing. And sometimes you get old, you need a new chapter. And that's not always easy. Naomi, I think, was able to continue her growth because she was able to begin a new chapter and enjoy it. Eternal life is the freedom to grow spiritually at any age. Life is a journey. And it seems like the Apostle Paul in these verses, it seems that he was never quite satisfied. He was always striving for better, right? Always wanted to get closer or more work or more for his Lord. When he looked back, he said, I'm going to forget. And I think that is so important as we grow older. Forget all our mistakes, the past. Forget it. Reaching forth onto something better. And one thing the Apostle Paul, I at least don't notice in his letters, that he ever compared himself to somebody else. We have a tendency to do that so much, always comparing ourselves to somebody else. He doesn't seem to do that. He just strives to grow more spiritually into the Lord. If he would have compared himself to others, he might have even got proud of himself a little bit. But it doesn't do that. He says, not as though I had already attained. Not as though I have already arrived. He still hadn't arrived. Always striving to do better. Continue to grow at any age. You know, and I want to say this morning. Maybe sometimes our past isn't much to brag about. I sometimes look back at my growing up years, and it's not much to brag about. But we don't have to let the past control us. Far too often we make excuses, if only. If only I would have been born somewhere else. If only we had different parents. We keep doing that over and over. Quit it. We need to quit that. Forget those things which are behind. If only I had more talents, then I would go and do this. Leave that past behind and strive. Strive for the living God to get to know Him better. Spiritually, keep growing. The most important thing in life is not what's behind us. The most important thing in your life is what's ahead. We need to continue growing. And my last point this morning is this. Not only continue growing, but do it with some enthusiasm. Enjoy life. Not just existing, but living with enthusiasm. And you know how you can do that? It's the difference the Holy Spirit makes in our lives. The Spirit doesn't leave at a certain age. It's actually the Spirit that changed Naomi from bitter to the one who actually could enjoy God's blessing again. Paul says in verse 14, Philippians chapter 3, just continue from before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press is a very, very interesting word. Press means you're going to put pressure on. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gleaming every day. It's a song, right? We need to face our future years with hope. Because you know why? We have the best future that I know of. We have a better future than anybody. Christians have the best future awaiting for them. So we can live here in this life, our last years, whatever they are, with that hope of knowing our future is going to be better. We will see our loved ones again. You will see your son. You will see your daughter. We will see them again. As Christians, that's our living hope. So live life with enthusiasm. Live it with faith, a living faith and hope. You're only as old as your doubts and fears, basically. To live with enthusiasm, with faith, with hope, that's encouraging. I think that should be encouraging to everyone here. Doesn't matter how many candlesticks, birthday sticks you have on your birthday cake. It is God who has placed eternity in the heart of man. So live with hope, a living hope. It's like an elderly lady, 85 years old, living in a retirement village. She was in good shape, and she heard an elderly gentleman was moving in. Very close to where she was living. So as soon as he came, she went to meet him. She saw him. And my, she said, you sure look young for your age. Actually, she said, you look just like my third husband. And he says, well, how often have you been married? She said, twice. She lived with anticipation of hope. I'm not saying everybody's supposed to get married when they're old, but we live with that anticipation. We can't just sit down and die. If we can keep moving, we have that spirit in us. Brothers and sisters, life is a race. Life is a journey. Run as much as you can. Run it. Don't give up on it. Isaiah the prophet wrote this in Isaiah 40, verse 31. Very familiar verse. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Would you love that? Life doesn't need to run down. We don't have to grow old spiritually. Christ is our hope of glory. The glory of heaven after this life, but the glory of God in a person that is fully alive. The Apostle Paul came to the end of his life, and he said this, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Those are beautiful words. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're the giver of life and the taker of it. And even though our society today maybe thinks that elderly should just be given some assistance in dying, Lord, we feel that is so wrong. You're so much the giver of life. And spiritually, we can't die young. We keep growing. And so, Father, this morning, may your word have spoken to all of us. May it have encouraged us as we journey through this life. You give each one of us maybe a different reason to be here or different things that we have to battle. But they're all for a reason. But spiritually, Lord, help us to grow. Help us to grow just much closer to you. And very often as we get older, may that be the case for us. May that living hope that we have in you, Lord God, be with us today. But we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the story of Ruth and Naomi. What a blessing it is. And we think of Jesus on the cross when he prayed for his mother. And Lord, so we too this morning pray for all those that feel lonely, that they may know that they are appreciated in our world today. We do thank you for your word. In your name, amen. As is our custom, we go on our knees for silent prayer, short silent prayer. So if there is something that you feel the need to pray for this morning, we will do that. Before we do that, though, I have a request for prayer before we sing our last songs. And the request comes from Abe and Eva Buhler. I'll read it the way they have it here. They're requesting prayer for their daughter, Lisa, who has been influenced, they write, and adopted a strange religion. She has allowed no contact from children, parents, and sisters. They said they can't even contact her. So it's very hard for her husband or her family. So before we go on our knees this morning, we want to pray for that, and then we'll go on our knees, and then you can all pray specifically for that as well. Shall we pray for this request? Heavenly Father, this morning as we come to you again, Father, we pray for Abe and Eva. We pray for the whole family. We pray especially for Lisa. Lord, where she is caught up in today, we don't know exactly what it is, but some kind of a religion that doesn't want to have any contact with the rest of the family. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask for your mercy and grace upon her. Lord, we pray that if it is your will, that her eyes would be opened and that she would see what she's doing is just so wrong. Father, we know that Satan is out there trying to take away our children. He's trying to destroy families. And so, Heavenly Father, this morning we pray for Lisa, Lord. She hasn't had an easy life, but Lord, we pray now that you would touch down upon her and that your mercy and grace would
shadow over her, Lord, that she would be able to see you again, the giver of life. We do thank you for this family, and we pray for Eve and Eva, that you keep them strong, that they would not get too discouraged, Lord, that we realize that you have the power, and if people are willing, you are there for them. And so this morning, we do pray for Lisa. Be with her, Lord. May her eyes be opened to the truth. In your name we pray. Amen. To each one of you that's come out this morning, thank you. May God have spoken to you through his word. Regardless of your age, remember, we are made in his image. He is the giver of life, and he is a taker of it. Until that day comes and he will take it, enjoy life as much as you can. That's what God wants us. He came to give life abundantly. May God have spoken to you through his word. Choi Ball for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. The peace be with you. God bless you. Thanks again.